Welcome to the jungle. My name is Carlos. I'm here with my friend Julie. I'm just so honored to be here today and share with you this interesting topic. We've been talking about this for the longest time, and I'm just happy that we're going to be able to put it on a podcast to share with the people that are listening today. You know, for those who don't know Julie, my friend, Julie's a retired pilot. She started mission work maybe 25 years ago. She built an orphanage in India with four kids. It's just amazing. Honestly, I feel honored to be all the things that I have learned from you, Julie, in the last 2 years. And why don't you tell us a little bit about why when giving hurts?
Okay, I think that so many people get frustrated when they go out with the intention to give and you just want to bless people. And it doesn't take too long before you find out that either your gift's not being received well, you wondered, is this what they really need, or am I creating a need or
a dependency,
and I'm actually hurting them? Yes. Or you wonder, are they ungrateful? Am I wasting my money where I'm giving it? And then you end up, a lot of people end up more jaded and more, wondering, why am I doing this in the first place? It happens a lot. And I notice this a lot of times, even with people who have gone to school to become a pastor, but they go out in the mission field and they're not prepared for it.
Exactly.
And that's what we want to share today, what we've learned, not necessarily from a book, although there are some good books.
Yes.
Not necessarily from school, but from life.
Yes.
And giving.
Yeah, this is extremely interesting because even there's books out there. What we're sharing today is basically from our life experiences, what we learn in the mission field. We don't learn this in ministry. It's just sometimes it just... we learn as we go. And I want to quote someone, because there's actually a book, When Giving Hurts, by Brian Ficker. And he said, a helpful first step in thinking about walking with the poor in any context is to discern whether the situation calls for relief, rehabilitation, or development. How, just put it in simple words, some of the way we do mission on a one-on-one basis, we have found out that so many people have so many wants, but we have learned to discern from their needs.
Right.
And we're going to share a few experiences. I remember that story, Julie, where you were telling me about we want to add a little bit to that story when you give the presents.
Yeah. And this was back in when I was living in the United States. And we're talking, this kind of giving isn't just international missions. This applies to domestic missions in your local neighborhood or international. But this goes way back. Before I started doing ministry on my own, our church had a secret Santa sort of thing for Christmas Eve. And you could choose a family, which was really nice idea. I thought it was beautiful. Find out what that family needed. And I went and bought the gifts for each child and coats and toys. And I got really sick. So I had my husband help me pack the things up, pack the four kids in the car to go deliver it to this family. And I had put my heart in it. Like, I just wanted them to be so happy to receive these gifts. And we were a little late because I couldn't speak. I had really bad cold, migraine headache, and we pulled up to the family, and my husband went in to drop off the gifts that I had also wrapped just carefully, and she yelled at him, "Why are you so late? Do you know my children now think Santa's late, and this is just, how could you do this? You ruined our whole day." And he came out, and I was just heartbroken, and really prayed about that, like, okay, Lord, my heart was in the right place. And really, ultimately, with your giving, that's what matters, is that you gave out of the goodness of your heart. Whether it's received well or not is really not what it's about. However, it really made me examine, is this the right way? And probably the kids loved the gifts, but they thought they were from Santa Claus. I don't know, you know, if that was right. And I'm sure they needed the items. So they, I always tell myself too, well, they got something that they could use and they needed. So it's ultimately good. I did it out of the goodness of my heart. So it's between me and God. But what is, if we're all have limited resources, whether it's our time or money, and I want to give effectively, yes, efficiently, right, because we don't all have unlimited
resources or time.
After that, I started doing the charity work in India. And I'm not saying go local to international. Just for me, that was my calling. It might be for you something in your neighborhood or nearby. But I started doing more of the thinking about breaking that cycle of poverty that you just mentioned.
Okay.
And thinking about when we giving handouts, and some of those were maybe needed, like a coat. But what is a crisis need? I have no problem ever giving out of crisis. Someone had their house burned down. They lost their job. They had a death of a loved one, in helping through that crisis. But everything else, putting most of my attention towards educating and getting them out of that cycle of poverty. And it's slower and it takes more time and it takes more dedication because it usually involves relationship building.
I think that's one of the hardest things to realize, that giving with a purpose and development, more towards breaking the cycle of poverty through education.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't want to do it that way because it requires time. It requires dedication, devotion. I remember, you know, just we're going to the El Sauce, the village we've been serving for 2 years.
Right.
And I remember, you know, just want to bring up an important point you brought up. There was a shift in your thinking because you, not just the receiving end, she might have been like, oh, she's late, but also you're the giver. You felt unappreciated. You felt
right.
All my time, right? And that's why the topic, when giving hurts, the solution that you found through this experience, and as you were sharing with me, is there was a shift in your mentality. There's a better way, maybe more functional, practical way to give that could help instead of doing these handouts. And it's different in the U.S. I know there's an abundance of food, and it's different in every country. But we're talking about, you know, in general, giving from a heart, the foundation should be love.
Right.
Right. I like that. And, you know, I remember as a quick story, I was in a Sauze giving handouts. And I know you're, in through your experience, you didn't agree with handouts and in this area because it creates dependency on the people, right? I'll tell you my story real quick. But basically, as I was giving, my wife also kind of, after a while, it kind of felt heavy in my spirit, right? Because I just didn't, I feel like I didn't have
enough. You weren't going against me. We just hadn't talked about it yet.
Exactly. And it was
kind of
hard for me, a little pride in there.
Giving a little rice and beans and things like that, right? Toilet paper to the Bible study.
Yeah, which is also great. It helps the community. I'm not,
and they definitely had need.
They definitely need it. But I start noticing that it felt heavy in my heart because I had 20 families at the time, and I was actually giving more than I could give. And I started praying, God, I don't have enough. How can I get more people involved in this ministry to give more? And I remember a friend of mine, I was trying to get him involved in this mission with me. And I remember a moment where he said, Carlos, I love what you do, and I love your heart. But so next week, how many more families will be there?
Yeah.
And I realized at that moment, Julie, this is like a never-ending ministry. Like, I could have 200 families show up next week,
yeah,
and I won't have enough food.
Right.
And so it really removed something from me, because I remember that moment I realized, God, you know, I even started blaming God for not having enough. And I see that happening to ministries. They give to almost in a place where they deplete the cell, deplete. And I'm talking about also time.
Right.
You know, people serving in a church in a totally deplete all the, what's the word I want to use? But you run out of energy, and you start giving up from emptiness, and that's when you hit a wall.
And then the joy, because the Bible is really clear about, I was just looking at the verse in 2 Corinthians, we're supposed to give out of joy. If we're not giving out of joy,
yes,
that's not the right place to be.
Yes, I agree with that. If you're not,
and that happens really easily, because you know, and a lot of you know, you're going to run into the ungrateful people, and it's going to sting, because your heart, I know our hearts are to go help and love on people. It happens. I had a pastor I met in Guatemala too. He said he brought out a bunch of shoes for all the women, and then there were a fight. It started a whole neighborhood fight over the shoes. And then he also warned me. He was teaching me his wisdom. A lot of this wisdom just gets passed down from ministry to ministry.
Yes.
They all needed beans and rice, too. So he bought beans and rice and just thought, I'm just going to distribute that once a week, until he got confronted by the shop owner, local shop owner. Thank you for putting me out of business.
Yes.
And you don't think through some of those things. Now, are you really helping them by putting someone out of business and not helping them? And the Bible is clear about helping the widows and orphans. Obviously, they can't work, but so much we see is Jesus doing discipleship, teaching the disciples how to do things, and it's all about relationship and discipleship. If we can teach them to do something,
yes,
that's gonna,
it goes along.
We don't want to create dependency on, yes, us. We I want them only to be dependent on the Lord.
Amen. That's good. I think the most important thing I want the listeners and who understand is that through these experiences, we'll realize we need to stop creating dependency, because then only when I show up at the Bible studies with food, people show up. And then the next week, I get five families, and then I don't show up with food. And we start just creating this dependency, and then people started demanding me more food. And I was like, I'm giving you all I can. And
yes,
and I think it could go, just to kind of quote another thing from the book, you know, breaking the cycle of poverty, it's a challenging task,
mm-hmm,
but it's possible with the right approach. We have to find it. We're talking about finding a practical way. Not that it's going to work everywhere, but through equipping the people, getting the community involved in the project or the activity, they feel they're part of it.
Right.
And for me personally, I feel working on the salsa 2 years, that's more effective. You know, the people feel like they're part of it. And I don't feel now pressure to give. I don't feel
right.
Pressure.
So, for example, in our community center, we plan for them to come over, help build the garden, help take care of the garden, maybe even do some of the tile work, because they're capable.
Yeah.
The men there do this work, and the women, we want them to take part in it, so it they do have ownership in it. And if we do have extra food to do handouts, the intention is to do classes. For example, if we have a doctor visit or anyone that teaches anything, you want to teach a class on CPR, on hygiene or something, and people want to take a class, they can get certificates to get free food. I know some people have issues with this. I understand that they feel like we're trying to make them earn it. But we're loving on the people like we do our own children,
yes,
trying to equip them and enable them is out of love. There's not real specific directions biblically. We're not saying that it exactly says how to do it. We're just speaking to how it works out,
yes,
there in the field. Because if you just give and give so that they don't go out and learn how to do it, except for the people that can't work. Obviously, if they can't work and it's a widow or a child, we just give. If they have a disability, we just give. We're not talking about that. But giving them different job training, for example, is an excellent thing to do. Get someone to job train. Get them a sewing machine so they can learn to sew, someone that can mentor them, and then have them, you're going to mentor the next person, maybe raising money to give them tools.
Yes.
It's different ideas like this that we want to give you, whether it's in your neighborhood or you meet one person. You all have skills. It's not just about money either, because a lot of us don't have the money.
Yes, exactly.
To find a skill that you can share.
Yes, I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions out there, that all we could do is our money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could give our time. If you have knowledge in a specific, like for example, I work a little bit in construction. If I could teach someone something about that, you know, or like you have a lot of experience with plants, you know, and so basically we don't want to also say that handouts are bad, you know, that's not what we're trying to say, but basically for us what works is we found out that handout could be kind of like a temporary fix,
right,
for a
situation.
Yeah, and maybe some ministries are showing up and doing handouts, which is great. But also, like, people who are there to stay and plant ourselves in the community with this new project we're working on in El Sauce, mm-hmm. we're looking at a long-term, how do we impact this community without hurting them, right?
We've done, too, we've shown some pictures on the social media is
yes.
doing gardens instead of giving the food.
Yeah, correct.
We've brought some people to plant the gardens so that they're growing their own food. Most of them are good gardeners. It's not that they don't know how. It's not that they need us to teach them. They don't have the dirt. They don't have, they need to do raised beds. So us coming in with just some help to show them love and bring the dirt in, that's a great way to help them grow vegetables. And that's sustainable and renewable. And then we go in to see what they grew and have a relationship with them. That's the kind of things that we can do to make a long-term impact.
Yeah, I think that's one. It was a moment where it was hard for me to, like I said, I go back to that moment. It was a shift in my thinking. And even I heard it from several people. You know, I had to experience it for a reason. I think God allowed me to go through it for a reason. But also because we're a ministry that, you know, through the pictures, like you said, all the things we giving responsibility to the people. So also they feel that they're earning, not that we can give it. We could find ways to give more. But when you create that ownership for them to take care of the garden, for example, then now they understand, you know, they we kind of giving people a hand just to move a little bit, you know, their situation, but we're not really there to go and completely change their lifestyle,
right,
or their ways, you know. And I just there's one thing I wrote down here that I wanna talk about, because you know we're moving beyond the principle of giving. We mm-hmm. we understand that, you know, offering and tithing and giving it's in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus in the Word of God. This is really. For me, it spoke to me because Jesus only spoke 2 times direct about tithing. Okay? The rest of the times, through parables, there's lessons of giving. But 2 times, and those 2 times, Julie, he told the Pharisees, he told them, you know, you're hypocrites because you have left the most important thing about giving. And Jesus said that in Luke chapter 11, verse 42, and Matthew 23:23. And these two times, Jesus says, you have neglect the most heavy matter, the most important thing about giving, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, like you were saying, and giving from love, because if we're not giving from love, we could start giving from an empty heart, or giving for guilt because we feel guilty. We're trying to save the poor, you know, and mm-hmm. we don't want to be in that situation, right, Julie? When groups come visit us, we want to really show you guys and just through a relationship with the people, what has worked for us in the mission field. And, you know, also, you know, I remember you told me a story, Julie, and when going back to the story, when you feel, you know, this the receiver end was not being grateful, right? All these emotions, and maybe somebody listening right now is going through an emotion like that, you know, and they might not understand, how do I start giving? Do I have to do it international? You don't. We believe that giving, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
I think we could start from there. And that's the one of the major things for me in the mission field, what I have learned.
Yeah, and that's when Eric and I used to work with a youth group, and in the summer we'd take a 10-day trip, the Random Acts of Kindness, and we would just go up to people that looked overwhelmed, maybe leaves in their yard. It might be an elderly woman or just somebody struggling, and say, hey, can we help rake your leaves? And they'd be shocked, and they'd say, why? And then we'd say, we're just out doing Random Acts of Kindness today. You know, that's a great way to give. Just find someone near you, if you want, to just, it doesn't cost you anything. If you're, everybody can find something different. So when people say they're going to come and visit, we always ask them if they want to take part in giving, if they're not just coming to rest. You know, what are your skills? What are your hobbies? What do you have to offer? What do you, because they say they want to go and visit the community. Do you play music? Do you want to teach music? Do you want to teach some English? Do you want to teach Spanish? You know, what do you have that you can share? Because that's what it all is, just sharing with each other. And you know what? They'll share stuff back too, because it's two ways, and you get blessed so much. The people in the communities we serve, they teach me so much.
Yes.
About cooking and gardening and natural health. They teach us as much as we teach them, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think one of the most amazing experience, I mean, we ask people who visit us, what have been some of the most amazing moments? You know, we take them to a salsa, and we'll take more time to explain and talk about the project. But we're basically working on a project in this community. And we're looking for groups that want to come down to do mission work and help us, you know, and join us in this vision. And, you know, and one of the precious moments people will say, you know, that moment where I went to see these people and all this village, and I realized they are so happy.
They're happy.
I went with the wrong perception of thinking I'm going to save them, but they're so happy with so little. And after seeing, obviously, the beautiful Caribbean Sea and all these other beautiful places, those are the takeaway, the moments they take home and change their lives. Yeah. So we want to create those moments for groups and missions, families, people who are listening. And, you know, we want to invite you to join us, you know, because obviously the project Jungle Love has been created for groups to visit. And like you said, we allow them to design, you know, part time, they could do some fun time, and they could tell us what they want to do in the community.
Whatever percent you.
And we work with them to be more effective, like you said, use their talents to go in that community and be more effective in the way we give.
And I have to just do a plug for sponsorship.
Yeah. Okay.
I just have to. I thought of it now. So sponsorship's a great way to help, because we're educating the kids in India right now. And we'll probably do some sponsorship here too. It's really good, especially if you have children, because it's a great way to teach them about giving. So I won't say more about that, but you can contact us if you're interested in giving through sponsorship and getting to know a particular child.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, just close with this final thought, Julie. I really pray that the people who are listening, if you feel in your spirit that this is the place you need to come, I encourage you to challenge yourself to come and visit. Come and see it for yourself, you know, because I truly believe that God is doing something amazing in Mexico. And I can't say that enough, because, you know, 2 years ago when we met you, I remember it was just, I was pretty lost, honestly. I shared with you this briefly, but I was ready to give up on leadership. And you gave me this opportunity. And I truly want to call you on, you guys, whoever's listening, you feel that you want to join us in Jungle Love and partner with us just to work with the communities together. Mm-hmm. I want to make that invitation to you guys. So thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again soon.